corner taken by Fuller. Aswell takes Hatch. Who gets the shot? Tony Kello, left footed, 4-0. Fuller. Kello got his second score. Kello scores his 18th of the season, and that's 1-0. Kello.
As if you didn't know, my name is Tony Kello. That really rhymes. You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces with Fulvey and Kirkster.
Kello's Bootlaces, the Exeter City show for Grecian fans the world over. Two men with faces for radio.
Just talk me through Ollie Watkins. He's a young man. There's a minute to go. It's 1-1. To show that kind of composure and that ability, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got that youthful desire. No reason not to have it when you're older, but he's got a youthfulness of wanting to do well and thinking that things are going to go right for him. You know, I've seen him play for the youth team, and he can get a, he could, as a really young player, get a bit down on, you know, if one or two things went wrong for him. And actually, he overrun the ball a couple of times on the edge of their box, and he maybe thought he was fouled, the referee didn't, but he didn't get his head down, he kept at it. You could see that he's got this confidence flowing through his veins, and that he believes in himself to create opportunities. I mean, he served the ball out to the left wing here, to Lee Holmes, as good as anyone, and he's a, you know, he's a forward passing, forward looking player with a threat on their goal. So but he can, he's got a bit of everything, and long may that continue.
Actually listening into Kello's Bootlaces, and there was only one way to start the show tonight. Steve Perryman on Ollie Watkins. Kirky, still buzzing?
I'm absolutely flying, mate. I've only watched that goal about 100 times.
Dirty Leeds, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
It was a good goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good goal there. The Twitter feed described it as the official Exeter Twitter feed as the best goal they'd ever seen, and certainly we've seen better goals on telly, but when you actually recall live goals that you've seen, I can't think of too many better that I've come across.
Well, he deserves all the plaudits, but arguably our guest this evening is the man that truly turned the game. Will you please welcome to the studio Mr. David Noble?
Game changer!
How are
game
you, Nobes?
Very good. Nice to be here.
Great 15 minutes. Great. It must have been a great game to come on in, wasn't it?
It was, now you're looking back, and we've won 2-1, yeah, but I mean...
At the time,
it losing to your rivals at home, you know, you wouldn't want to have been on the end of that, so looking back now, and we've won 2-1, yeah, it was brilliant to come on in.
Pleased with the part you played then?
Yeah,
great assist.
Well, we won 2-1. Yeah, we were talking earlier, you were saying that I assisted Ollie's second goal. I said, I don't want no part of that assist. I said, if I put him in on goal when he scored, that's an assist, but passing it to him and then he beats three people and smashes it in the top corner, I don't think that's an assist.
Well, that's refreshing to hear, Mr. Noble. Refreshing to hear. And I'm sure you and Dirty Leeds will have plenty to talk about off air this evening, one Mr. Steve Evans, no doubt.
So. Yeah, he's some guy.
Right, let's do your competition. We've started a little bit differently tonight, so we'll do your competition question. Now, your chance to win a pair of tickets to a future Exeter City game. If you know the answer to this evening's question, you need to email us studio@radiox.co.uk. X, of course, is EXE. Simple question this evening for you. Excluding Ollie Watkins, name any current or former Exeter City player that has scored a winning goal against Plymouth Argyle. We can celebrate this evening, can't we, Kirsty?
You're right. There's a few. Get them coming in.
Any current or former Exeter City player that has scored a winning goal against Plymouth Argyle, studio@radiox.co.uk. Right, we're going to talk all things Plymouth Argyle in just a moment, but let's hear a few more thoughts from Stevie P.
Steve, a stunning end to a game that we could quite conceivably have lost, I guess.
Yes, I quite liked us first half, I've got to say, but I did think that we could have maybe stretched their defence a little bit more, and they were playing quite high, and the fact that we were playing against the wind, the ball would have held up if we'd played it through more. But I have to say, when you've got someone like Ollie in your team, you don't have to be playing that well, and probably second half we weren't playing that well. We didn't make the goalkeeper make many saves, did we? But he's got that goal threat in him, and I really love the manager's substitutions. Jake is now fully in match mode, as he's shown the last few games and got his goals and stuff. But, you know, I also agree with the selection when David was picked to start, because I think he lifts the home crowd. And David Noble, very important to come back, just to bring a bit of semblance in the midfield and, you know, save us sort of kicking it up to the front and open. It was a bit more cultured, and normally when we get a result against Plymouth, it ends up being cultured football that does it. It's not power type football, it's cultured. And we probably weren't cultured enough for most of the game, but then with David on the field, with Jake on the field, Ollie came into his form, then it all started to work. So great into a game, and, you know, delighted for Tiz and the chaps. And what management with those substitutions, fantastic.
Summed it up pretty well, Kirky, didn't
you? Yeah, definitely. Semblance, cultured. We're talking, weren't we? I mean, I think the substitutions were, you know, did go well for Tiz. One of the big talking points was, you know, should David Noble have come on when Matt Oakley was injured? So kind of asked the man himself, are you surprised not to come on?
I was getting warm. I mean, Butts had noticed that Oakes was struggling a little bit and told me and Davo to warm up. You know, I was ready to come on. Let's put it that way. But I mean, it's up to the manager. But I was ready to come on then, but I come on a bit later. And
did your thing.
Well, and looking back now, no one can moan about the decisions because we won the game.
We did indeed. Let's talk about the goal, Simon. Firstly, the one that we conceded. Disappointed with the way we conceded that goal.
Yeah, I think when Woodman and Ribeiro look back at their part in that goal, they'll argue probably that they should have done better. It bounces a couple of times, and I think Troy Brown's running back to try and help them, but perhaps should track Jamal Matt, who's the guy that actually puts it in the back of the net. So, yeah, very poor goal to concede.
First goal for City, Kirky. Ollie Watkins got a reward for having a go, didn't he?
Well, he did, but I think the bit that's underplayed it in it is the build-up to it as well, because like Gary said, I never understand why fullbacks just don't put the ball out of play. I think it's a speculative ball down in the corner, isn't it? And Gary Sawyer hashed a bit of a hash for clearance to Ryan Harley. Ryan Harley's first touch is superb, and his next touch to Ollie enables him to turn, and the guys, I think it might have been Hartley, was a bit standing off him a little bit, but I was pitch side. And kind of when he hit it, you thought, oh, that's not going to be any problem. And I was truly amazed to see it go in, because you normally wouldn't expect Luke McCormick to make a pig's ear of that, but thankfully he did.
With your perspective, Nobes, obviously having watched a large part of the game and then coming on and taking part in it, would it be fair to say that Argyle were a big, physical, strong team, but they didn't actually play much football, did they?
No, I don't think they played any football at all. I mean, I think they had a lot of their success at the start of the year by playing football. And what I've seen on Saturday, they've gone far away from that. I don't know if that's the reason for their downturn in form. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. But what I've seen, they looked a different team to the team that beat us in the Johnson's
JPT,
team?
Yeah.
In the JPT at the start of the season.
Let's talk about that goal then, Kirky. You said you watched it about 1,000 times since.
It's on a loop somewhere where you can watch it for about a minute and a half. You can watch it for about 12 times, so it's great.
I mean, first off, it's a great bit of footwork, great bit of poise and balance, and then to produce that kind of finish as well, it was just something magical, wasn't it?
Oh, I can talk about this goal for the rest of the show, mate, so you're going to have to hurry me along.
Okay, we'll come back in a minute.
Okay, you stop in a minute, but when Nose passes it to Ollie Watkins, that first touch before he does that turn, and we're staying outside, weren't we? Though I don't think Ollie knew the guy was coming up behind him. He's just taken a little touch, and the guy's gone completely the other way before he's done his cheerio, and then he's done a little kind of Cruyff turn, and just the strength on the body swerve, and he's almost going away from goal, isn't he? And is it the lad Houghton, I think, is trying to get near him, and he's had to take a touch to get it away from Houghton, so he's gone back away from himself. Lee Holmes is screaming for it, and he's whipped it back across Luke McCormack, who's, you know, he hasn't got a chance, has he? It was, on one hand, it happens so quickly, and it was the other hand, it was like slow motion. But you probably had a better view of it than I did, and you said that you were up as soon as it left his foot.
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for anyone who saw it from the Flybe stand.
Yeah.
Because if you're on the big bank, you'd have had a superb view of this. And us sat in the old grandstand, we had an amazing view as well. And as soon as it left Ollie's left foot, we were up celebrating, because you could just see the curl on the ball, taking it away from McCormick, who was rooted to the spot. He had no chance at all, because it was hit with such venom as well. And you could just see it was going into the top corner. So what felt like an eternity, as you quite rightly say, is probably a second, second and a half.
Yeah.
It felt like we were celebrating way before the ball hit the back of the net. It was just an awesome
everything
strike.
Everything all in one, wasn't it? Knowing that it probably would be the winner as well. Whereabouts on the pitch were you, Nobes, when this all took place?
Would you believe I was behind Ollie? Would you believe that? Or
celebrating your assist, weren't you?
I mean, I'd just give it to him, and when he beat the first geezer and went away from the next, I was just thinking, go on, keep going, and then he hit it. And I sort of, although I didn't have the angle you had from the grandstand, I think I could see that, you know, it was going in. I could see the keeper weren't moving, and when it hit the back of the net, I'm running off. If you ever look back at it, me and Ryan are just running off behind Ollie, laughing, like, as in, what has he just done there? Do you know what I mean? It was
something special.
Sort of in awe, yeah, that the kid is top, top player. And, you know, I as soon as I come back to Exeter, back in September of last year, was it 2015, and I could see he was a good player then. Do you know, I mean, and Ryan come back in, when did Ryan come back in? The December,
yeah.
The January?
Yeah.
Me and him instantly had a few conversations saying that this boy
is
going to be a good player. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not wrong too often. Let's put it that way.
Well, after the game, our resident studio Kellos journalist Simon Larkins caught up with the said man.
Fair talks for your goal in injury time.
I'm not sure, really. It's all a bit of a blur to me at the moment, but I like to watch it back. I can remember doing a little step over and cutting inside my left foot, reversing it, but, you know, I'm just so happy we got the 3 points and, you know, a couple of points away from the playoff spot now, and I think all the fans should really believe that we can make it to the playoffs.
Did you get a bit of confidence from your first strike and just thought, I'll have a couple of efforts from distance, because you had another one that was turned around the post as well, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I was hoping he would not get a clean hand to that, really, but obviously he did, and I think if it was early on in the game, maybe I'm passing it out wide to Lee Holmes. So, you know, I just thought, why not hit it? And you know, lucky it went in.
Has it sunk in the momentous occasion it is of that goal? Because obviously it's last minute of a derby, front of the big bank, and to win the game as well. I mean, normally if you score a goal like that 3-0 up, it's a memorable goal, but it's even more memorable with the surroundings that it comes in as well.
Yeah, I know. It's a great feeling. Obviously, out of the two games against Plymouth, got 6 points, you know, against the local rivals, and, you know, they're not a poor team. They've been in the top three for the whole year. So to get these 3 points is a massive game for us.
You've just been in the Apple Suite there. I suppose you have lots of fans congratulating you and saying thanks for getting the 2 goals.
Yeah, definitely really happy. It's amazing what a goal can do to some people. And, you know, I like moments like that, putting smiles on people's faces just through doing something that I like doing.
Yeah, I mean, the gap, 2 points, it seems really, really possible.
Yeah, definitely. On to the next now, the overall Saturday. So, it will be a tough game, but, you know, we can beat anyone. If we beat Plymouth, who have been at the top of the league, like I said, you know, we can beat anyone.
And just on yourself as well, I must be really pleased with how your form's going since you made that break into the side.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't put too much pressure on myself to score a goal, but, you know, if I do, it's a positive. And as long as the team's winning and I'm bringing something to the team, then, you know, it's a bonus, really.
You're listening to Kellos Bootlaces on Radio X. It's the Monday night hour between 8 and 9. It's all things Exeter City. We're celebrating a superb victory against Plymouth Argyle, our Cornish neighbours at the park on Saturday. Still to come, we'll hear from Paul Tisdale and a lot more from our studio guest, David Noble. Right now, it's music, Elton John, and I guess, well, pretty much all Grecian fans had a great Saturday night. I'm sure it was a great Saturday night for everyone, except for the Argyle fans making their way down the A38.
You must have been buzzing Saturday night, Nobes.
Yeah, I was in good spirits.
What did you do?
My mum and dad were down for, they don't come down very often, so it was good to see them. They come and obviously witnessed the hell of a game.
Yeah,
we're loving it. And then we went and had a bit of dinner and a couple of beverages.
Very nice too, very nice. Let's remind you of your competition question then. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to a future Exeter City game. Obviously running out this season, so you may have to carry that over to next season if the dates don't fit. But the question tonight is, name any current or former Exeter City player who has scored a winner against Plymouth Argyle.
Except for Ollie Watkins, wasn't it?
Except for Ollie Watkins, yeah. Except for Ollie Watkins. Don't want to make it too easy. It's already easy enough. If you know the answer to that, you need to email studio@radiox.co.uk. You need to get that in by 8:50 this evening so that we can give out the winner before we all go back to David Noble's house and talk over old times about Steve Evans. we're really looking forward to that.
Let's leave that man out of it, please.
Right, let's get some more reaction from St James's Park after the game, and Kirky caught up with Tiz.
What a finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last 30 seconds is kind of sugar-coated everything, and it just, it was all about the result, and there's no better way to win it. 30 seconds to go.
It was quite an interesting start to the game, because you had to reshuffle your pack. No Jordan Moore Taylor, of course. Matt Oakley went off pretty early, so we lost a bit of rhythm there, didn't we?
Yeah, I took a gamble on Matt, and we won the game, but it appeared not to have paid off. And I mean, I selected a bench with it in mind that if he dropped out, and I said it to, I probably shouldn't have tempted fate, but if he has to come off in the 10th minute, I'd have Aaron there to come on. And we were prepared for it, but we were hoping he wouldn't come off. But I think the first half was seemed very competitive. I think, you know, they had territory on us, and it was even Stevens at half time. They certainly deserved their goal. The pressure they put on us and their two centre forwards spent too long around our box for my liking. But we hung on in there, you know. And at 1-0, you just got to keep it at 1-0. The first thing you do when you're trying to chase down a deficit is to keep it at the one goal, you know. And we knew they were strong, they were physically stronger than us today in many areas, which is why we when it came to long throws and corners, we put everyone back and we did our thing. Albeit we there were plenty of insults coming from behind me for taking players back to defend, but you know, the best way to come back from a lead is to make sure you don't concede another. And you know, when you look back on it, that was a good decision. You know, we kept it to one, and then with 20 minutes to go, with Drake Taylor coming on with very very good movement and David Noble being a huge difference in the side, we suddenly then had some passing, some movement, and Ollie Watkins got some space. And you know, it's not just about another centre forward, it's about finding space in the other team's half, and Jake and David put Ollie Watkins on the ball. And it was what a day for Ollie.
Yeah, well, the first goal kind of came from nothing really, didn't it? Because it was a clearance from Gary Sawyer. I think Ryan Harley found the pass to put Ollie in. He hit a shot early, but when he hit it, I thought keeper's going to save that one.
Yeah, I think it came from an accumulation of play on their inside right area. David Noble sort of on the ball two or three times, and he played a speculative pass towards the corner of the box. And it, you know, in order to get chances, you've got to spend time around the opposition's box, where however they come, and whether it's from a set piece or from a mistake or a good bit of play, you've got to spend time there. So to be honest, I was surprised it went in. It hit the shot, and I'm thinking, oh dear, that's maybe not the best idea. But anyway, it's gone in. You know, and that's what happened. You know, it's if you don't shoot, it's not going to go in. So the last you know, 5-10 minutes was number one. You're thinking, let's not lose this now. Make sure everyone's doing the job. And it's amazing when you just focus on those things. Something can happen, and that is one of the best goals you will ever see in League Two under that kind of pressure at this kind of moment. 30 seconds to go. I mean, he flicked it around the player, did a Cruyff turn, and then hit a left foot shot into the top corner. That was something else.
One of the best goals you've ever seen?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. It would have to be considered with a number of others, and also for the importance of it. You know, it's one thing scoring a goal when you're 3-0 up or you're 3-0 down, but doing that at 1-0 with 30 seconds to go, it takes some doing.
You've got the big bank as well, great moment for them.
Yeah, no matter what he gets in his career, I mean, he will get, you know, he's got a long, I'm sure, good career ahead of him, Ollie, but he won't get any better than that for him.
What gives you most pleasure as a manager? Do you look back on it and think, okay, the decisions I made changed the game, or do you look at, you know, you get a lot of satisfaction from a young player coming through, getting the winning? Must be a number of things.
At this stage of the season, with 6 games to go, 3 points, and against a very, very effective, strong team today. They were, with the irony is, the games we've won, I mean, there's been a lot made about our home draws, but the games we've won, the last 2 games we won today and against Accrington, in both games the opposition had the ascendancy. You know, so always about being attacking, it's not about that. You know, Accrington outplayed us, and we beat them. Argyle today had the ascendancy. They had the power. Their two centre forwards put a lot of pressure on our centre halves. They had the flow of the game, and we've come and won it. You know, so there's no rhyme or reason for this, and it just keeps us going. And you never know. But what a fantastic day for Ollie. And you know, I invited him to do the team talk afterwards because everything he seems to touch at the moment.
What did he say?
Of all the things he was expecting, that wasn't it. So I'm afraid I caught him on the hop, and he declined the offer.
Tis obviously over the moon, but a bit pragmatic, I guess, saying the 3 points is what's important. And I guess in a way he's right, isn't he, at this stage in the season?
Certainly when you look at the other results, or when Exeter City's is away, so it's now down to just 2 points off the playoffs, and a real, real chance, especially with the form Exeter City are on, because you look at all the other teams that are in the race for that final playoff spot, Exeter City are the form side.
And let's just talk a bit about the opposition manager, because I think Derek Adams has been a bit less than gracious, shall we say, about the defeat.
Yeah, well, I was actually part of the interview that people that spoke to him after the game, and he basically implied that Ollie Watkins was slipping as he put the ball into the back of the net, and both Exeter City goals didn't come from good play and were kind of lucky.
Ollie Watkins slips. David Noble, you were closer than us. Not a chance, was it?
I think he's been on the sauce, hasn't he? I don't
I think that's such a great answer. We'll move on. You're listening to Kellogg's Bootlaces on Radio X. Coming up, we'll chat in more depth to David Noble. On Radio X, you're listening to Kellogg's Bootlaces. It's a great night to be in the studio. It was a great night when we drew Liverpool in the Cup. It's a great night after you've beaten Argyle at home with a last-minute winner. Talking about those two games, Nobes, as a player, the Liverpool game at home or beating Argyle in the last minute? What does it mean to the players? Which game would you take? You've been on the sauce, haven't you?
Well, the Argyle win, I think, is for the fans that is the biggest game for the club and the money men. Obviously, the draw at Liverpool, but we're looking at for the passion. Without a doubt, it is beating our goal. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Mm. But you said your Twitter feed's been pretty hot on it.
I've had more nice messages after playing 15 minutes on Saturday than I have any other game in my career. And you know, I was saying before, it's nice. I'm thankful for all the kind messages, and I really appreciate it.
Happy days. So what are we doing now, Fulsey?
You're going to talk to David Noble, our guest.
What am I going to talk about? Do you want me to do the player feature?
No, you crack on.
How do you think the season's gone for you, Noble? Obviously, it's been a tricky time with that injury that you had.
Yeah, it's been really frustrating. I seem to say this last year, although I've obviously played a lot more games this year. But just the time, I think I was in some real good form. Got an injury. Missed 3 or 4 weeks with my hamstring, came back, then was straight into some more good Liverpool straight away. Leighton Orient played really well on the Saturday?
The following week.
And then obviously we had Liverpool away at Anfield on the Wednesday, and I pick up a calf tear on the Monday, which was absolute murder for me and kept me out for 5 weeks and. And obviously, I've just come back now, played Stevenage again, another win. Portsmouth on the Tuesday, come on and helped us get a draw.
Yeah.
And then not featured since until a 5-minute spell against Notts County, and I come on and crack a rib, which keeps me out for...
As ever the false night, wasn't it? Yeah.
Jonathan Stead, literally...
I thought you were playing for time, mate.
Well, me and Harley were just keeping the ball between ourselves for about 5 minutes, and I don't think they liked that, and so he come and he's, I don't know how sharp he sharpens his elbows, or, but yeah,
caught me,
and then that's kept me out for a couple of games over the Easter weekend, but I'm back now, I'm fit, I'm flying, I'm ready, I'm... Bring it on.
It was interesting. You said about the Orient game, we had Jayden Stockley in the studio, and he could not believe the pass that you laid on for his first goal, because he said it was with the outside of your wrong foot, and I think it put it on for me. It's about 2 yards out.
it was the inside of it. I mean, it. Since then, we have not played together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Other than sort of 15 minutes.
Yeah. Gives us something different, doesn't he?
Saturday. Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, I like playing with good players. It makes it easier for me.
Mm. Interestingly, it would be quite interesting to look at the stats, I think, about how many games you and Jordan and Ryan have played together. Because I think the record when you three have played together is pretty spectacular, but you've not had too much of an opportunity to get a run going yet this year.
Yeah, I see a piece in the paper a few weeks ago that they've done just about my percentage from starting games. And. You want to obviously start more games then, didn't you? So, basically.
A lot of football still to be played?
Oh, of course. There is a long way to go. 2 points, I think it's one place between five teams.
Yeah.
Looking at the league, and we're on a good run of form, and we're ready for the challenge, I think.
I love watching you play, Nobes, and I didn't get to see you play early on in your career, obviously, but... You make the game look so easy. You're never rushed in the middle of the park. You always seem to be able to create space. Very much similar to Ryan. I don't know how to put this tactically, but you probably don't travel and cover as much ground as Ryan does. But you're never rushed, and you always pick out. You never waste the ball. Has your game always been like that, or is it something you've sort of morphed and grown into?
No, I think it's... Well, when I was a real young boy, I was a centre-forward, but... The pace soon left me, and I started moving backwards. I then went into a 10 roll and 8, and now 4.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever go back to centre half.
Goalkeeper.
I
could be a keeper that plays out from the back. It's always been how I've played. Technically, I mean, that's one of my strongest things is my technique, and I grew up at Arsenal, where the ball is. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and I was always taught that do not give that ball away. You work so hard to get it back.
And can you work on the vision side of your game as well? Because a lot of the time you're playing with your back to the opponent's goal because you're creating space, and yet you seem to have this ability to turn around quickly and find a pass so you know where people are. But you must be seeing that somehow.
Yeah, every now and then you will play a blind ball if you hear somebody, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Is it one of those things you've always had?
I think you can either do that or you can't, basically. Mm. You can either see things or you can't. I'm quite happy you said I can. I know some people might say I can't, but yeah, I don't think that's something that you can, that you can teach.
Do you think it's fair that Ryan plays better when you're there beside him?
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I think that. I play better when he plays.
Mm.
I think we both think about the game. One, we're good friends off the pitch. Two, we both have the same views about football and philosophies and tactics and, you know, all them sort of things. And basically we're sort of on the same wavelength, which, you know... It makes it, as I said, it's easier to play with better players.
Mm. One of the games, obviously, coming up, 6 games to go, the big game away at Rovers. I mean, I remember going there last time in the JPC when you took a penalty. You always seem to get a pretty good reception from them, don't you?
Yeah, obviously, because of my time at Bristol City, they've never forgot. And I, you know, every now and then I like to remind them, as you say, when I... stuck my hands behind my ears after I scored my penalty, but they give me a bit of stick. I love that, basically. I love it. It gives that game a bit of extra needle. I love I love the bigger games, simple as that.
And the City Argyle derby, right up there with the Bristol City Bristol Rovers derby?
Yeah, we were talking before. I mean, the only way you can judge a derby is by the passion and, I say the hatred, but as much as wanting to beat each other, and that's as much as any other derby. And I think the only way they say derbies are bigger is the attendance, as I'm saying. If the grounds could hold more people, I'm sure there would be more people in.
Right, mate, we've got a little player feature for you now. I don't think we're going to spring this on you. What we do with our new player, we've given up on the one-minute challenge this season.
With a new player, am I?
No, a new player feature, not a new player. Going to ask you 12 questions about your teammates.
Right.
Okay, you happy with that?
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Right, who at the club, in your opinion, has got the best nickname?
I'm one for normally giving them out. Nelson.
Who's
Manny.
That? Nelson?
Yeah. Just swore he's Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
Because he's Manny.
Manny, I'm with you. Because you're responsible for Stringer, aren't you, with Hammy?
Jerry Stringer, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Stringer,
Hamstringer. Yeah, don't ask me how I come to these, but I just start saying them and people catch on. I like Nelson.
Nelson's a good one.
Yeah, okay. he's a great guy.
Who's got all the chat?
Craig Woodman.
Yeah, Woody. You can't shut Woody up, to be honest with you. That's a bit. I still don't know what his voice sounds like, Woody. And I've known him since we were 14. I've never heard him speak. But.
Who's got the best gear?
Who comes in as a right guy? I'm in training every day in a tracksuit every day. And some people are having a right go, but. Jaden dresses alright, Lee well. Holmes dresses well, Clinton.
Okay.
Ryan, Jamie McAllister, there's
all
a few.
Good scrum.
Yeah, they all look well.
Who plays the best tunes?
Ooh. Oh, I tell you what, our DJing this year has been terrible. We've had games where we're just getting changed in silence. we forget the boom box, or no one's got no songs on their phone.
Oh man.
Sometimes we're listening to the opposition's tunes booming from their changing room as we're getting changed.
Who would win in a cage fight?
Other than me.
Other than you?
Don't have a look here.
Jordan, what song do I go for?
Troy's a strong boy. Troy's strong.
Troy, go with Troy.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I think Jordan would take
most people.
Troy.
Troy, okay.
Troy's strong.
And
strong
last one. Anything. Who's longest in the shower?
Silences don't work on a radio.
Silences don't work. Holmesy takes a while
he
in
takes
the shower.
A while.
Holmesy does, yeah.
Oh, good show, mate. Good show indeed. You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces on Radio X. Coming up, a bit of Tears for Fears. You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces on Radio X. The hour has just flown by yet again. But we've been celebrating this evening. We beat Plymouth Argyle 2-1 on Saturday. And the fans... PFA Player of the Month scored 2 goals. Ollie Watkins, congratulations to you.
Well done, Ollie Watkins.
Well done, Ollie Watkins. Our competition this evening, then, name any current or past Exeter City player that has scored a winner against Plymouth Argyle. Loads and loads and loads. More response tonight than after the Liverpool game, Kirky. Absolutely amazing.
They all want to hear Nobes, don't they?
Our winner this evening, who said Daniel Nardiello, is Charlie Lambert.
Well done, Charlie Lambert.
Congratulations to you, Charlie. Those tickets, well, Mr. Gallardo will be in touch, and then you can choose some tickets to a future Exeter City game. Right, one bit of news from the club. There's another Devon Derby at the park tomorrow night. Exeter City take on Plymouth Argyle once again in the St. Luke's Cup. I'm just trying to find out the kick-off time.
7:30.
7:30, is it? Tickets are £5 for adults, £3 for the over-60s, and £1 for under-18s and students. So, great opportunity. There'll be a number of first-team players playing in that one to get along to the park tomorrow night for part two of the Devon Derby. Let's send them scuttling back down to the A38 again. That will be great. And, of course, Yeovil away on Saturday. Nice short trip, about 40 miles up to Yeovil.
Yep.
3 o'clock kick-off. Let's go and give Artur Krajciak some goalkeeping practice. He's bound to let one fumble through, isn't he? Bound to. Surely.
I'm just nodding.
Right, we've got a minute and a half left.
Yeah, can I just mention quickly, on Saturday before the Yeovil game, there was a fans game, the Adam Stansfield Memorial Trophy, a game between Yeovil fans and City fans at 10:30 at
cool.
Yeovil.
I'm going to ask David Noble, we've got a minute left. Playoffs, realistic?
Without a doubt, yeah, of course.
Right back in it, aren't we?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Simon, we were sat here thinking it was all over, weren't we? And suddenly, a couple of, you know, we've been on a great run again, haven't we? And it's opened up for us, and especially Saturday. It really opened up for us with that victory on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, even 2, 3 weeks ago, you're saying it was a tall order too much, but Saturday's just changed all that.
Incredible, Kirky, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you go a number of games and you stay 7 points off, 7 points off, and all of a sudden you go one game and you're two points off. And I think Carlisle play tomorrow, so it could be 3 points by Saturday. But we've done so well to get back in there, and there'll be times when we think we're there and times when we think we're not there, but long way to go.
Mood in the squad after Saturday? Positive?
Oh.
Massive, isn't it?
Flying at training today?
Top of the world at the minute, yes. You can't be being around a group of lads that are winning games. I mean, that is the key to having a happy atmosphere at the club, is winning. You're not going to be losing games and have a good atmosphere, so.
And just quickly, Noves, I guess for you, you just want to play the remaining games this season.
Yeah.
Be involved. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
Cool. Well, David Noble in the studio.
Legends.
Legends. It will live for me a long time, that comment about Derek Adams. That will be amongst our highlights of the season.
Yeah.
He's been on the source. Simon Larkins, great to have you in. Thank you for your contribution. Kirky, as always, it's always good to bounce in the studio on a Monday after a victory.
Love it.
It's especially special after a victory over the Gargoyles from down in Cornwall. Look forward to seeing you all at Yeovil on Saturday, and we'll leave you with a bit of Lenny Kravitz. It ain't over till it's over.